Good morning. This is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from the Young Israel of Passaic Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua series, Insights into the Daf. Excitingly, we get to start a brand new Masechta this week. This week, we're starting Masechas Brachos. The Shir is on Brachos Daf Beis Omer Aleph, the very first Daf in Shas. And the topic is the Machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim as the paradigm of all machlokes in Shas. Now that is a very, very, very aspirational title, and I have two disclaimers before we even start. Number one, I have not been through the entirety of Shas. Number two, whatever Shas I have been through, I'm not so proficient in all machlokesim in Shas between the Tanaim that I can tell you that this is the paradigm. So why am I titling this year the paradigm of all the machlokes in Shas? And very simple answer is based on a line in the Gemara that the Gemara asks towards the bottom of Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The bottom of the Gemara about Beis Amud Aleph takes our Mishnah, the way beginning of our Mishnah, and analyzes it with the following sentence. The Gemara asks, the Mishnah begins, Emasai Korah to Shema B'Arvin, when do we start reciting Shema in the evening? And the Gemara, and the Mishnah says, Mishasha Kohanim Nechnasim Lechol B'Trumasam, the time that Kohanim come and eat Truma. Now, between me and between you, we know a little bit about Kohanim eating Truma. So we'll know that a Kohen who's Tameh cannot go and eat Truma, period. What he has to do is he has to go and be Tovel. And once he's Tovel, for those particular Tumas that, all he needs to do is to go to the Mikvah and be Tovel. From Seisa Kol Chavrim, from the time that one can see three medium-sized stars, which in the New York, New Jersey area is approximately 42 minutes after the sun sets, then you can start saying Shema. But let's say I didn't know that. Why doesn't the Mishnah tell us that? Simply, the time is Teisa Kochavim, when in fact it is Teisa Kochavim. And the Gemara gives us three or four words. And the four words are actually three words plus an abbreviation. And the words are, Milsa Agav Urcha Kamashmalon. It's teaching us something tangentially. And what's teaching us tangentially is not only is the Mishnah telling us that the time is Teisa Kochavim, but it's also teaching us that the time of reciting, a time that Kohanim eat their Truma, is also from Teisa Kochavim. And the reason why I say this is the paradigm, our machlokas is the paradigm of Shas, is based on this idea. This idea teaches us that, you know what, learning Gemara is not learning it's not learning an isolated subject. But in fact, you're jumping into what Chazal called the Yam HaTalmud. And the Yam HaTalmud, just like a sea, expands and it covers so many different areas. So too, any given line in Gemara and be a springboard to discussions in so many areas. And it shows that the Torah is a unifying force in terms of all. Every Masechta is a unifying force in terms of unifying all its discussions. And one little machlokes and brachos can lead to many discussions in other areas. And in fact, that is what I wanted to show, how this machlokas, Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, can be a springboard into discussions in two other areas. One, in terms of Psak Halacha, based on a Beis Halevi and Erevin. And number two, a famous Halacha regarding Rosh Hashanah Shachal Lios B'Shabbos. What this has to do with our machlokas, we will find out very soon. Comes the Mishnah and tells us the following. Our Mishnah discusses the latest time that one could recite Kriya Shema at night. Rabbi Elezer holds the Zman is the first Ashmura division of the night, which, as per the discussion on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, is either 3 or 4 halachic hours or shows manios after Teisa Kochavim. Rabbi Gamliel maintains that one may recite Shema all night, all the way until Alos HaShachar, until the dawn. And we are speaking right now about a very significant time difference between the two opinions. Take last night, or last week, when Seisa Kochavim Passaic, New Jersey was 6:37. The first Hashmora, if we do a little bit of a calculation, ends approximately around 3.5 hours, around 10 o'clock. Alos HaShachar was at 6:02 in the morning. So therefore, you have a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer saying that you can say Shema till 10 in the evening, and Rabbi Gamliel saying you can say it till 6 o'clock in the morning. What creates such a wide gap between the two opinions? So Rashi on Daf Gimel explains the machlokas is how to understand the word uveshachbacha. Our Gemara tells us that the source, whether deraisa or derabbanan, after reciting Shema, both in the evening and in the morning, is the pasuk in Shema. It says, "Uveshach b'cha," when you go to sleep, "Uvekumecha," when you wake up. This "Uveshach b'cha" could have two meanings. Well, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it refers to the time that people start going to sleep. It means, according to Rabbi Gamliel, it doesn't mean the time that people start going to sleep, but rather it means the duration of time that people are actually sleeping. So you see over here, according to Rabbi Eliezer, "Uveshach b'cha," time people start going to sleep, if that's what it means. So then, yeah, basically, people should always be this way, but especially, that was the time people began to go to sleep, and they were pretty much asleep by the end of the first Hashemor. Remember, no lights, no entertainment, no computers, no late night chasnas in Lakewood. These things were actually meant for a person just to basically come home from work, eat a little bit, learn a little bit, and go to sleep. Rav Gamliel, though, says B'shav B'cha means while everybody's sleeping. And again, not too many 9 o'clock minyanim back then, certainly no 10 o'clock or 10:30 minyanim. Back then, people got up at Alos HaShachar, so that was a time that people would wake up. So here you see that a simple understanding of a word can lead to such a wide difference in halacha. That's how Rashi understands the machlokas. The Piskei Harid disagrees with Rashi's understanding in a little bit of a way and says that the machlokas is less based on translation and more on the actualization of a concept. Both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel agree that Uveshach b'cha refers to the time that people go to sleep. The difference is, though, as follows. Most people tend to go to sleep in the earlier part of the night, and only a few, such as the people who work the graveyard shift, or those who have insomnia, they go to sleep at the end of the night. The question is, when we are determining the halacha based on Uveshach b'cha, meaning the time that you lay down to go to sleep, on whom are we basing this? Rabbi Eliezer says, we follow the majority, and since the majority of people go to sleep earlier, that's the correct understanding of B'shach B'cha. Rabbi Gamliel will disagree and say that the proper time to understand the Pasuk is to follow everybody, and since there are those who are still going to sleep at that time, they are also included in B'shach B'cha. So we see over here a basic machlokas between Rashi and the Tosos Harid in terms of how do we define the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel. Is it a machlokas in terms of the definition of Uveshach b'cha, when you go to sleep versus when people are sleeping? Or does everybody agree that it means when you go to sleep? And the question is, are we determining it based on the majority or based on even the minority are included in there? Already you see how the Gemara in Torah Shabbat Peh has already expanded this concept of simply reading a Mishnah. But notice that we've left out the middle Shita. Our Mishnah also mentions the Chachamim, who say that Shema can only be said until Chatzos, the middle of the night. Now, the truth is, my Rebbeim have always told me when I was in Shir, I've always been taught, that the middle opinion is always the hardest to explain. Because, you know, you have side A, you have side B. Here, you have something in the middle, which they say in Yiddish could be Nishtahin, Nishtaher. So what exactly is the opinion of the Chachamim? Now, the truth of the matter is, the Mishnah at the end of our Mishnah, along with the Gemara's interpretation later on Daf Tes, tells us that really the Chachamim follow the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel in terms of Svar. That really the Chachamim would agree and learn Uveshach b'cha like Rabbi Gamliel's interpretation and not Rabbi Eliezer's interpretation. However, they added an extra component. And the extra component is Kedei laharchikes ha'adam en ha'aveira. In order to prevent a person from sinning, they restrict the time after Chatzos. So therefore, you see that really, even though you have three opinions in our Mishnah, it really comes down to really two. You have the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, who says, Uveshach b'cha means, that's according to Rashi, the time that people start to go to sleep. And you have, according to the Rid, also the time that most people go to sleep, versus Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham, versus Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, who according to Rashi say B'shach B'cha means time when people are sleeping, or according to the Rid, the time that the rest of the people go to sleep. However, within Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, you have the Chacham adding this extra component saying, stop early because we're concerned of a person falling asleep and waiting till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning to say Shema, he's going to miss it. And in order to harfik Adam and Havera, we add in that extra time. The question emerges, though, is that within the opinion of the Chachamim, what did they exactly accomplish by saying that Kriya Shema may only be said until Chatzos, meaning in a halachic sense. Obviously, they accomplished that people do the mitzvah. But what am I asking this question? The question really means is when the Chachamim say, you can't do Shema after Chatzos, you can't be Yotzi, you can't say Shema after Chatzos, you only have till Chatzos, does that mean, are they speaking about the fact that you no longer have a mitzvah? Have they been uprooting the mitzvah? Or would one would simply say that, no, v'chadchila, you can't, but b'di'eved, you can rely on the opinion of Rami Gamliel. What exactly did the Chachamim do halachically with their psak? So this happens to actually be a machlokas rishonim between the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba / Rosh. The Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah says that only man was seich shema before chatzos, but the Chachamim were mafkia, or remove the mitzvah of Kriya Shema after Chatzos. In other words, min haTorah, you're able to say Shema all night. Come the Chachamim and say that only must you say it before Chatzos, but they went as far and removed the mitzvah after Chatzos. Why did they remove the mitzvah? They removed the mitzvah because of Kedei laHartik es ha'adam min ha'aveira. The Rashba and the Rosh disagree, and they put a different spin. They all agree that according to Rami Gamliel, one may recite Shema all night l'chartila. What the Chachamim did was to say l'chartila, one should only say it till chatzos, as we're afraid one might doze off and squander the mitzvah. However, b'di'eved, one may recite Shema all night. And this, Sir Rashba says, is the basis of the dialogue between Rami Gamliel and the sons that was listed later on. So you have a machlokas between Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba / Rosh, as to what did the Chachamim do? What is this machlokas based on? And we're going to begin by first explaining the shita of Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, because simple question is, how could they do that? How could they simply say there is no longer a mitzvah by to say Kriya Shema after Chatzos? If the mitzvah exists, because that's what Uveshach Becha means, the whole time that people are sleeping, to use Rashi's interpretation, so then how could they simply say there is no mitzvah? So the truth is, we are all aware of a concept, similar concept, that was practiced not more than 2 months ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, and that is on Rosh Hashanah. This year, the first day of Rosh Hashanah came out on Shabbos, and we're all familiar with the fact that when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, we don't blow shofar. So why is this? In fact, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah asks and says, there's no malacha for blowing shofar, so why can't we blow shofar on Shabbos? And the Gemara says that we were concerned about the fact that a person might come, take a shofar to a chacham, and ask him to teach him how to blow shofar on Shabbos, and that he might be ma'avir the shofar, might carry the shofar in Rishus Arabim Dalad Amos, which of course is a major deoraisa. So therefore, the Gemara tells us that the Chacham were given the power to be okir a mitzvah, to uproot a mitzvah, and say, don't do the mitzvah, sheval taseh. In other words, by not doing anything. I mean, the Chacham didn't say, do something that's contrary to the Torah. Rather, they went ahead and said, don't do the mitzvah, in a case that doing the mitzvah might lead to a potential avera. And in that case, the Chacham have that power. So, what the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah would say, what the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah might say, is, well, just like by Rosh Hashanah, we were okir in the mitzvah, because we were afraid a person might come to carry. Here too also, we are okir in mitzvah, because a person might be posheya and fall asleep. So the question is, so what would the Rosh and the Rashba answer this? How would they explain this? This seems to be a very solid comparison. So the Shagas Aryeh says that the comparison actually is not as solid as one might think. Because one can make a distinction between the two cases, Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos and Kriya Shema. When Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, the concern is that a person might come and carry and overtly violate the laws of Shabbos. Here, we're not worried about you overtly doing anything. We're worried about you being negligent. We're worried about the potential of passively missing a mitzvah. So look at this. There happens to be a machlokes between, possibly, the Rashba and the Rosh versus the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah in how do we understand the power of the Chacham in being able to uproot a mitzvah. How far does that go? According to the Rabbeinu Yonah, not only does it go far to the point where we're concerned about a person physically violating a mitzvah, but even if a person might come to a state of negligence and missing a mitzvah because of his negligence, then we're going to even say the Chachamim could be oker a davar min haTorah. The Rosh and the Rashba simply say that no, the takana or the power of the Chachamim is simply to stop a physical violation of a mitzvah. When one mitzvah will physically, by doing this mitzvah, you will overtly violate a dira alav, so then we say stop it. But if by doing this mitzvah, we're allowing you to do a certain time of a mitzvah, a certain type of a mitzvah, and it might, with your negligence, might lead to missing something passively, they're not going to extend it to there. So what do you see? Number one, this machlokas now, in terms of how to understand the shita of the Chachamim, adds another layer to it. It's not only related to our sugya in Kriya Shema, but it's also related to the sugya of Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. And it's also expanded to the koach of the Chachamim, to how far does the power of the Chachamim extend as far as being oker a mitzvah min haTorah shev al tasa. So that's one understanding. That would understand, excuse me, that's how we understand, one way to understand the machlokas between the Rashba and the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. But there's another reason, there's another way to understand it too. And that is, the Mishnah later brings down a story where the Talmidim of Rabbi Gamliel, the sons of Rabbi Gamliel, had returned back from a wedding and had not yet recited Shema. They asked their father what to do. Rabbi Gamliel explained that one may recite Shema all night, as that's what the Chachamim are really ascribing to. What exactly was the conversation about? The Rashba explains that this is the question that they were asking Rabbi Gamliel. Do the Chacham really agree with you and just took away the ability to recite Shema l'chachila after Chatzos? Or do they really disagree and say there is no longer a mitzvah? Rabbi Gamliel, according to the Rashba, says, answered that you can say Shema, clearly indicating that the Chachamim agree you can say Shema b'diavad. Because otherwise, had the Chachamim not agreed and said simply, no, the mitzvah is nekar, how could the Chachamim Gamliel paskin against the Chachamim? We have a rule, yochel v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. And in fact, Rabbi Gamliel himself, other places in Shas, was extremely careful to make sure that the majority opinion was followed, as per the whole episodes with him and Rabbi Yehoshua, which ultimately led to his temporary removal as being a Nasi. So therefore, this is actually a great proof for the Rashba. The Rashba is going to say, obviously you have to say the Rabbanon, and obviously you have to say B'dieved, the Rabbanon will allow you to say Shema afterwards, because how else could Rabbi Gamliel paskin against the Chachamim? So the Beis Halevi offers a following defense of the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. And this is based on a concept that we find in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem Vav, explains that by Yadin de Rabbanon, we can follow a Das Yochid and Shas Adchak. In other words, we normally will say that Yochid v'Rabim Halach k'Rabim. When can we make an exception? So we have when we have two mitigating factors. Mitigating factor number one is it's a Shas Adchak, it's an emergency. In this case, the Talmidim, the children of Rabbi Gamliel coming back from a late night chasna, not yet saying Shema, that's considered to be like an emergency. That's not a l'chachila situation. They would never say, oh, this is what we're always going to do. But rather, in this situation, they had no choice. That's what they did. That's one shas adchak. That's one mitigating factor. The other mitigating factor is, we're talking about a din d'rabbanan. Because midaraisa, the Torah allows you of a shachbacha. You have all night to say Shema. So Klebeis Alevi continues and says the following. This machlokas is a machlokas in Svara, and the Chum have a totally different understanding of the word u'b'shapacha, or they agree to you and just made this additional siyag or fence, removing the mitzvah of Shema after Chatzos via the power that we discussed above. The Beis Halevi continues and says, the answer of Gamliel that the whole concept is just based on a siyag. Therefore, they can follow my opinion, b'shas adchak. So what do you see over here? It's not that it's a complete difference in terms of understanding the halacha, but rather, a siyag was made. And because the siyag was made, we can say that, okay, this is what the Chum said. There's no more mitzvah. However, in a situation where you're shas adchak, and there is a das yachid that allows it, in this case, Rabbi Gamliel says, we will allow you to say Shema. That's how we can understand the opinion of the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah in light of this. Again, taking this machlokas and using this machlokas as a springboard to discuss the concept of yachid v'rabim, halachic rabim, we see again how each machlokas is just a whole bunch of layers, and by peeling off each layer, you get to a deeper and deeper discussion and find that so much of the Gemara is all interconnected. What comes after this? There's two ways to understand the machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, as far as what does Ubishapcha mean. In addition, we're saying that the Chachamim, who do hold, like Rabbi Gamliel, in theory, there are two opinions as to understand about what exactly they did with their takana. Did they completely uproot the mitzvah, or they just said it's lechatchila b'di'evid? And using this as a springboard into discussions of Kali HaPsak that we learn in Erevin, and Rosh Hashanah Shachal Yos B'Shabbos, this is clearly a great way to show that this first machlokas in Shas is a great way of diving into the Yam HaTalmud, thus making it really a paradigm of all machlokas in Shas, because everything is really all connected. Have a wonderful week.